if you will, look at Romans 16:27. We use this verse for every sermon as we go through this series. It says, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Let's bow. Would you tell the Father that you love him today from your heart to his heart? Let him hear from this, hear from you. Move your prayer to being grateful, thankful. We enter here with thanksgiving. We overflow with thanksgiving. Take a moment and pray for other people that overlap into your life. You have a concern, even a recent concern. As we pray for others too. So give their name, their situation to our Heavenly Father. We do this on Sundays because we need to. We also do it to teach you. Pray for the nations. Pray for what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. Pray for what's happening in Israel and the extended version of that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're instructed by Scripture in the Old Testament that pray for the peace of Jerusalem and God will find favor for those who do. I know you and I can pray for peace and we're going, what good does it do? It seems like I pray for peace and it gets worse. We pray for what we are instructed to pray for. Our obedience is unto God. Everything else is unto him. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem there. Pray for other countries that you have an affinity for, a connection to, through people or ministries, your own personal travel. Pray for the nations. And then pray for our nation. In line with our series, pray for godly wisdom. And just pray that our hearts would turn back to him again. We ask that you pray for those who are around you right now, literally standing around you. Some you know, some you do not. Pray a blessing over them. And then your family, wherever they may be, pray a blessing over them as well. Some of you gave this week. Some of you brought an offering today. We ask that you bless it, Lord. Bless the offerings given. We know from the Old Testament, even before it became the law of Moses, even before Malachi even brought it up, or even the generosity of the New Testament, that out of relationship to you, people began tithing and giving back. And some this week and today brought their offering, Lord, to you to invest in your kingdom, to say thank you for all that you have done. Bless those gifts. But today, Lord, we also bring a greater offering, and that's us. You asked a question to Isaiah one time, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, Lord, here I am. Send me. May that be our response. You send us. We're living sacrifices unto you. And Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us, but you see me differently. You're tougher on me than you are anybody in this room. I live under a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in these seats. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's really good to see you today. I want to say thank you. Since August 26, I got COVID, and I've had that for a long time. And then Julie, my wife, being a nurse, she kept saying that I think this is maybe headed in another direction, meaning pneumonia. And so it's been trying to get a grip on me. And then Dr. Lewis, I know you're going to hate it for me doing this, but thank you for taking care of your preacher. And he saw that I wasn't doing good, and I had some counsel with him, and he was able to help me. But I'm not 100% well. I think last night was my first really good night of sleep in that I've had in the last little bit. But anyway, I'm here pushing through, and then we'll go from there. Okay, but thanks for your prayers and thanks for your cares upon me. I want to give you a book. I read a lot, and it's a book called The Wisdom of God by A.W. Tozer, T-O-Z-E-R, A.W. Tozer. And it's a collection of sermons. And they're short sermons, so don't get to thinking that the short sermons are rubbing off on me. You're like, oh, I'm glad he's reading short sermons. You know, maybe he'll resemble those one time in his life. But a great book. It's not a Max Lucado read. It's not a devotional read, but it is. It's got a little bit of a seminary read to it, but it's nothing you can't handle. I really encourage you to look at this. It's got a lot of great things that we're even putting together here. So I wanted to let you know about that. Ephesians 1:17. We visited this last Sunday. And in the beginning in this, I mentioned where it says the spirit of wisdom down there at the bottom, that was going to be next Sunday's sermon. And so obviously that's where we are. And I want to walk through this because sometimes in studying scripture, even in preaching, you stay with a sequence that is there. There is a step one, step two, step three, step four that you go through. And we're going to be doing that with two different passages today. So in Ephesians 1:17, we're going to get there. Paul says, I pray. A lot of times the beginning of Paul's books he's thankful. He remembers the people that he's writing, and he says that I pray for them. Can we get back there again? Can we get back to just praying and communicating with our Heavenly Father, asking the Father, meeting with the Father, seeking the Father? we get back there. That's really what Paul, we can just read that and run over those lines real quickly. But he said, I pray. And we begin there just by making prayer a regular part of our discipline and our life as believers. And he said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as he's praying and he's remembering all that what God has done, he starts emphasizing that, oh yeah, and he gave us Jesus. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's revealing here that that God has given us his son, Jesus. Guys, listen, there's a lot of stuff in this room. There's a lot of intellect. There's a lot of higher education. We can pull our finances together. There's a lot of things we can do. But guys, if we don't have Jesus, you and I are hopeless and hell-bound. Do you understand that? I mean, some of us can outwork the other, but neither one of us are going to make it without Christ. It's not going to be how intuitive we are, or how creative we are, or how intellectual we are. It is the fact that our only hope is in Christ himself. And that's why we make much of Christ. Because without him, we have absolutely no hope. And so very simply in this one verse, I pray, and I'm praying to God. And oh, by the way, thanks for Jesus. Thanks for Jesus. It's a reminder that you have given us Jesus. And I want to remember that. John 3:16, For God so loved the world, he gave. You're going to hear today a lot how God gives and God gave and God continues to give and gives generously, that he gave us Christ and that he loves us. Then he goes on and says, oh yeah, not only did God give us Jesus, the Son, but he's a glorious Father. He's an incredible Father. James 1 says, every good thing that's happened to you comes from the Father of lights. Every good thing that has been given to you or happened to you comes from God. He's good. He's a good Father. He's a loving Father. He's a heavenly Father. I'm grateful to have grown up with my dad in the home, but at my age now, I'm at the age that my dad died. And also, I have lived longer with my father being dead than I lived with him when he was alive. But nonetheless, I had part of my life with my heavenly father. I mean, my earthly father. And I know a lot of people haven't always had that. But here's the greatness of God. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that he was to reveal himself to us as Father. And Paul writes, a glorious Father, to the point that he even becomes, you want to help me with it? A father, you want to finish it for me? To the fatherless. Look at the depths of how he thinks and how he presents himself. So he is a glorious Father. And then Paul goes on to write that he would give you a spirit. He would give you a spirit of wisdom. You're going to hear this several times today, that wisdom not only comes from God, but it's of him and it's for him. It's all about him. That there are spiritual references, and this reference here mentioning spirit of wisdom is a reference to the Holy Spirit, of how it all works together. So it's not uncommon for Scripture to use this in a way to describe who God is and what he does. I'm going to give you five examples. There are a lot of places in Scripture where it says he is the spirit of gentleness. There are places in Scripture where it says he's referred to as the spirit of holiness. In the Gospels, specifically John, it says he is the spirit of truth and he leads us to all truth. In Paul's writing, it's the spirit of adoption, that there is God has a spirit of adoption. And that one alone, the others do as well, but that one goes to the heart of the gospel. You and I were born enemies of God. We were born in a sinful nature, but God took his enemies and he adopted us as his sons and his daughters. I'm not saying that's got to be your favorite part of the gospel, but I'm telling you, it's certainly mine. That to think that I was an enemy of him, but yet he adopted me to become one of his sons. Man, that's one of the purest pictures of the gospel. So he's called the spirit of adoption. In the book of Daniel, where Daniel exceeded and was raised to places where he had the king's ear, basically. He could speak to the king. It said David had a spirit of excellence, referred to as a spirit of excellence. Recently, Jake Russell used to play football at Anderson County. Phenomenal athlete, just a great athlete, and a great quarterback. Went on to UK, and some of us thought he needed more attention than he was given there, and he went to other places. And out of the sovereignty of God, he ended up being quarterback at Campbellsville University. And we know all good things come from or through Campbellsville, right? So he set the record books there. He did a phenomenal job. Well, he went on to become a college coach, was at Kentucky Christian, headed toward Eastern Kentucky. And then now he's back at Campbellsville and he's the football coach there. So during their camps, they would go through their camps and they'd eat supper, and then he would bring a preacher in every night to speak to his group, to his team. And so Robert Meacham and I preached there two different nights. And I think I preached there. I think I may have been the first night that he had. Not that that means anything, but I was there. And I told Julie, I came home. I said, Julie, we're getting old. And she said, why? And we were meeting outside the Hyman Auditorium. And there's all these bricks on the walkway. And Julie and I knew every one of them. You know, I'm like, honey, I used to read these things and going, oh, these are great people, you know? And now I read these things and going, well, we know them and we know them and we know them. And I was just, you know, being reminded of my age. And so I went there to speak, and then Robert went on to speak and another night. And by the way, they're 4-0. And I think Robert and I would like to think we have something to do with that. but I've been texting Jake on a regular basis, and they won yesterday pretty big. And I text him. And the night that I was to speak, I spoke to them and challenged them on a spirit of excellence. That there's two ways you get to a spirit of excellence, and that's out of kingdom principles in scripture. One is you're faithful in small things. Quit looking at the big stuff. Get the little stuff right, and the big stuff's gonna happen. Like I even brought up that night, angles. A lot of times when you play football, most of you have known this, if you take the wrong angle, it's not going to be good. Angles are everything in football. Taking the right angle, figuring out the right read. And the second thing was go the second mile. If you're forced to go one, be willing to go two. So it's not uncommon for scripture to say, well, God gives us the spirit of gentleness, or God gives us the spirit of holiness, or he brings us the spirit of truth, or he gives us the spirit of adoption, or in this last case, he gives Daniel the spirit of excellence. Look at Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the spirit. It all works together. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. We could spend a long time on that one. Kindness, goodness, faith. There's gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And that last line, you may just throw it off to the side. Against such things, there is no law. We're not talking about policy here. We're not talking about rules here. We're talking about a life. That's why it says there is no law. We don't do this by policy. And we don't do this by a set of rules. This is a kingdom principle lifestyle that we absorb from the Holy Spirit. So it's not duty. It's not clipboard and check it off. It's not any of that. It just actually becomes our life. So back in Ephesians 1:17, it says that he gives us the spirit of wisdom, and then it leads to revelation. And that it leads to knowledge, but please realize it's the knowledge of him. It's the knowledge of him. And look at all this. Look at the sequence of how it all just moves, and it's only one verse. I pray. And I pray that God, and by the way, God, while I'm praying to you, thanks for Jesus, because I have no hope without him. And oh, by the way, thanks for being a glorious father. And oh, by the way, thanks for giving us the spirit of wisdom that you give us. And it leads to revelation. It leads to knowledge right on down the line. It's all got this sequence to it. And we're not talking about, when we talk about wisdom here, and even we talk about knowledge here, we're not talking about intellectual knowledge. We're not talking about PhD knowledge. We're not talking about education or higher education knowledge. We're not even talking about common sense or street smarts. My daddy used to call common sense horse sense. That we're not even talking about that. That's not what we're referring to. It's a knowledge of him. And even in this one verse, Paul wants us to know it's not only of him, it's from him. You can't find it by reading enough books. It's a wisdom that comes from God. It's an understanding of him, his kingdom principles, his promises, and even his will. But I want you to see something in verse 17 that I think is very important. Not only the sequence that we just handled, but do you see the Trinity in this verse? We have God revealing himself as Son. We have God revealing himself as glorious Father. And we have God revealing himself as the Spirit of wisdom. So we have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that is listed there. And I just want to bring it to you in the picture of baptism for a moment. When we baptize, real quickly, you and I could go, well, that's just an entry into the church, or that's just something we do traditionally and out of ritual. Well, we do it because we're commanded to do it. And in being commanded to do it, we are commanded to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why do we do that? I'll just give you a real simple tour of this. When Jesus was baptized, obviously he was in the water, and then God the Father spoke, "This is my Son." And you're going, how do you know it's the Father? Because he said, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit descends and comes down like a bird and falls on him. So at his baptism, we've got the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit present. But it goes deeper than that. Guys, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are continuing to work in our lives. We baptize in the name of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because we're commanded to. It's a picture of his baptism. But guys, listen to me. It took all three of them to get us there, and it's going to take all three of them to lead us on. They are all working. Hang on. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, just stop and go, you know, I want to get into the old early Christian songs where it just said God's awesome all the time. You know, you're an awesome God. But just think about that. Just think about what he's done for us. Think about what he's given us. And even in this one verse, Paul picks up on that. I'm praying to God. And oh, by the way, thanks for Jesus. And oh, by the way, thanks for being a glorious Father. And oh, by the way, thanks for giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you. Thanks for doing that for us. And just how beautiful the Trinity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are. Look, I mean, you could say, it's kind of like, I'm going to run away from the Father, but you're going to bump into the Son. Well, I'm going to run away from the Son, but the Holy Spirit's going to get you in a headlock. You know, I mean, it's just like, how do you get away from all this? And it's a beautiful picture of who God is to us and what he's done to us. So it is of him. Of him. It is a knowledge of him. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 10 for a moment. We're going to walk through this verse by verse. Excuse me. He said, When I came to you, brothers, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom, for I didn't think it was a good idea to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, which was central to his preaching. Verse 3, very confessional here. Paul says, I came to you in weakness, even in fear, and in much trembling I came to you. We've all been there, right? 4, my speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a powerful demonstration by the Spirit. Verse 5, so that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but God's power. And stay right there, Ken, for just a moment. We're going to get, as we get deeper in this series, we're going to get into what does a godly wisdom look like, even a list of it, and what does man's wisdom look like. But that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Even in this very book, 1 Corinthians, later on, and it matches exactly what Paul is saying, that the kingdom of God is not talk, but it's power. Like, I'm not ending the sermon, so don't think that Tozer has, you know, manipulated me into short sermons, nor has pneumonia either. So I'll end with this, but I want to insert it here as well, that that when we operate, when you and I do kingdom next steps, like you're going to get to a crossroad. This is what we will end with, but we'll bring it up here now. Like this afternoon, you may get to a worldly crossroads. And which road do I take? Do I use the world's wisdom to do this, or do I use God's wisdom to do this? And when you respond with God's wisdom, there's power there. Because the kingdom of God is 1 Corinthians 4. The kingdom of God is not talk, but it's power. It's power. So it matches here, based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Verse 6, however, we do speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. Verse 8 says, none of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Here becomes the sovereignty of God. He had to die. Jesus had to die. Do you understand that? And had they seen anything any different, they didn't realize that they were actually working and playing into the plan of God. And so the wisdom of God was taken care of here in a sovereign way, so that Jesus, he came to die. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the wisdom was taken away from them there so that God's ultimate plan of coming to me and you through his son Christ and saving us was there. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, what eye did not see and ear did not hear and what never entered the human mind, God prepared this for those who love him. And leave it verse 9 for just a moment. Guys, I was raised very traditional Baptist. The old saying was, I was a prenatal Baptist. You know, I was going to church 9 months before I was born. You know, I and the Baptist tradition is just so solid in my life. And I'm not saying that Baptist box hasn't been destroyed. Some of it needed to be destroyed. But here I am talking about tradition. I'm up here preaching in tennis shoes, no socks, and my shirt tail hanging out, you know. So there's been some change go along. I was raised with this verse because I was born in 1960. So there was a time in all the Jesus movement that was going on in the 60s and the early 70s. And that people were talking about what God was revealing to them and God was speaking to them. And good old Baptists like took this verse out here and just pulled it out on people and just said, see, scripture says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things of God, you know? And so we use that. Well, you can't be experiencing that because eye has not seen and ear has not heard what never entered the human mind, God prepared for those who love him. So we use verse 9 to just say that experience can't go on. But then look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, now God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. The Baptist didn't go to verse 10. We stopped at 9. But now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. And it leads to a wisdom of him. Look at Isaiah 11, 1 through 2 for just a moment. We're going to get into this sequence again, step 1, step 2, step 3, in this one as well. And let me read it to you. Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and a fear of the Lord. Verse 1 is talking about the house of Jesse. And out of the house of Jesse obviously comes his son David to be King David. And out of the lineage of David comes Jesus. So we're talking about this transformation and the protected line from Jesse to David to Jesus. And then verse 2 gets to talking about our Lord. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And we refer to this as lordship. So there are seven gifts, they say, from the Spirit listed here in verse 2. And one of them is lordship. Guys, listen. I personally don't know a preacher alive that doesn't want you in the Word of God and the Word of God in you, including your preacher. But there is a thing called lordship. Sometimes I just turn you over to His lordship. That He comes directly to you. And there are times in Scripture where it says for us to correct one another. It's there. But there are times I just turn you over to Him. Now, what you do in your obedient step with Him is up to you. But I believe in the lordship of Christ, that he manifests Himself and He leads us. In just a very simple way of just using two things together to explain things of what we should be doing in the kingdom of God and things that we should not be doing in the kingdom of God. We believe in the lordship of Christ. So it says not only that will He have lordship, we believe He has a spirit, that He has a spirit of wisdom. Now look at, here we go in the steps. So he has lordship. He has the spirit of wisdom. He has a spirit of understanding. And remember, a proverb is a wisdom literature. And we use Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 all the time. And I'll stop at verse 5. But some of the wisdom we need to have from God is not to lean on our own understanding. And so it says here that the Lord, the Messiah, Jesus, is going to have a spirit of wisdom and understanding. He's going to have a spirit of counsel, that where God uses us, that there is balm in Gilead. You know, God can use you to help soothe the life and the soul of another, and also to even be strength to somebody else, that there is a spirit of strength that our Lord has. And then it goes on to say there's a spirit of knowledge, and continued under, but it's of Him. And then there is a fear of the Lord. Now hang on, okay, hang on. We've already handled this in our series, Proverbs 9:10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And here's what I want you to see. We get down to the bottom where it is the fear of the Lord, and then it just takes us all the way back up to the top to just go right back through all that again, right? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we go back. There's the lordship of Christ. He has the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge, and a fear of the Lord. And then we go all the way back to the top and we do it again, you know? It could be that Ferris wheel at the state fair. It's just continual movement of that. But here's what I want you to know. It falls on us too. This is just not a picture of our Lord, even though this is a picture of our Lord. Remember in that Romans 16:27 verse that we get the only wise God, we get His wisdom through His Son. And this is a picture of how all this is able to come together. Listen, I don't know what's going on with you that you need the spirit of wisdom in on you. I don't know what decisions you have, you're trying to make now, or you're going to make, or even decisions that are going to come your way soon that you have no clue about. I just know that this wisdom, this godly wisdom, comes from Him. I can't get it anywhere else. It's not only from Him, it's about Him. We can real quickly know from Scripture who our God is, and then hear somebody else say something that's just kind of off the wall, and I'm like, and it's not that I automatically correct everybody. I really don't try to do that, but I'm like, nah, it's not a picture of who I see Him to be. That we realize and we get this beautiful, amazing picture of who He is. And it falls on us too. This is not only falling on Christ, it comes through Christ to us. So when you hit those crossroads, when you hit them, you gotta, I can respond the way the world wants me to, I can respond selfishly, or I can have a kingdom response to this. Just know that when you respond with the kingdom, it's with power. I'm going to go back to last Sunday's sermon. When you and I respond with godly wisdom, do you remember that verse that says it's a manifold wisdom, it's a multifaceted wisdom, that it just breaks through the layers? That when you respond with godly wisdom and a kingdom response. It affects layers that you don't even see in the heavenlies. I'm just telling you, I think that's absolutely amazing. Yesterday, our daughter Laura's in another part of the nation, and she was hiking. Hang on. And so she was FaceTiming her mom, and look how pretty this is. Look how pretty this is. And she's like, "Dad, you would love it here," because Julie and I are compatible on the things that matter. But I'm a country boy, married a city girl. She's into the arts, theater and opera, all that. I'm the outdoor channel, And she loves the beach, and I will go to the beach, but I really prefer the mountains. And she loves the mountains, but she would go to the beach. It goes in there. So she's like, "Dad, you would love it here, And she goes, "Look how beautiful all this is." And so I sense this really strongly from the Lord, but I was also having a dad moment. I will throw that in there, okay? And I was like, "Yeah, that's pretty out there, but what I'd really love to see, the prettiest picture I could see would be a picture of you." Dad, got a little grunt in there, Now, guys, you don't get it, so I'm not even going to ask you. But ladies, does she really want me to stop that? Nah. No. Oh, she acted like it. Now, I'm going to say there was a dad moment in there, but I wanted her to know that all that's beautiful. All that scenery is gorgeous. But man, the most gorgeous thing I could see would be a picture of you. And I don't know how the Lord used that. But I felt like, as a dad, I felt like I needed to say it. But then I'll go into the preacher mode a little bit. Even as a preacher, I felt like I needed to say that. It is counsel, strength, encouragement, all those things that he uses with us. Guys, listen. Slow it down. You hear me? And pay attention. And he says he'll give us his wisdom. It's his wisdom. It's godly wisdom. And he is the only person who can give it to you. And you and I can fuss about what's going on in the world, our nation, our own community. But you know what's going on? We're living with our own man's wisdom is what we're doing. And that's why I pray, God, turn our hearts back to you and give us your wisdom, his wisdom. Will you ask for that right now? Would you just bow with me where you are? Say, "God, let's just do the invitation at your seat, okay? I need your wisdom." Smart people in this room, but you're not smarter than him. You're not going to out-God God, okay? I need your wisdom, and I know you give it to me through your son. And by the way, thanks for your son. And by the way, you're a glorious father. And by the way, thank you for the spirit of wisdom that falls on me. Now, I don't know what you have going on in your life right now that you need to give him and ask for the spirit of wisdom on your situation, but would you do it? Would you give that to him right now? Lord, this is an area I'm struggling with. And I present this situation to you. And I ask that you give me your wisdom. Father, I pray over our people. We can so believe in ourselves that we quit believing in you. And help us and remind us of even what we said last Sunday. You give us the strength to lead us through, but you also give us the wisdom to navigate the journey. And give us that wisdom today, Lord. A heavenly wisdom, a godly wisdom from you and of you. May it fall on us. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors will be able to find their place. And you may want to come and pray with them, even pray continually over what you submitted to him. But the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. The team's going to lead us. You respond.